The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ronald McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Oh, look at that!
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams, agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
various skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
risk of suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
The earth has spun off its axis. Why is that? What happened? Well, Obamacare. It was declared unconstitutional on Friday. It's amazing that the earth has held together through the weekend. And although I commented on it on my Sunday show, I am going to do some more because it requires it, and I have in studio, of course, across the screen. What is that, green screen or blue screen? Where are you, Don? Are you there?
I'm here.
Don's good to have you back on board. I know sometimes we render you mute, and that's okay because you do so much behind the scenes. But
I'm pushing all the buttons and pulling the levers here to make things happen.
Right, and once in a while, we let you speak. Actually, once in a while, you speak whenever you want to, and when you don't, I don't push it. But anyway, this Obamacare thing has got me thinking. I should hear from you because you've been following this through via the sociopolitical talk radio throughout the week as well. And we've covered it so differently, I think, beside the mandate issue, the whole idea that Obamacare, all it really ever did was strengthen the already pre-existing medical monopoly for which most Republicans and Democrats alike never argued against.
Yeah, it's amazing. Obamacare is not what they said it was going to be. This ruling with the appellate court, we can look at it as a small victory. The White House isn't going to give up on this. They keep, even in reaction to this latest ruling, they're saying, well, yes, it's a ruling, but it's going to be constitutional in the end. So the fight's not over. But, we can look at this and say, at least there's some judges out there that get it. And, hopefully we'll be able to be victorious with this in the end.
Well, I found it interesting that one of the judges that ruled against it was a Democrat appointee of Bill Clinton. So it kind of takes it a little out of the political realm of, oh, it's just a Republican judge versus a Democrat judge. But I mean, reality, I just can't imagine how anybody doesn't see through this to say the idea of forcing somebody to buy something, because by not buying it, you're affecting interstate commerce. That means basically that they could force you to, do anything. There's no limitation. And that's the bizarre thing about the third judge that, wrote a long treatise on why he thought Obamacare was constitutional. Was like, well, over the last 200 years, the federal government has greatly expanded the regulatory, da, da, da. And it's like, why it's constitutional? Because it's just kind of evolved to be that way?
We've been abusing the Constitution for a really long time, so by default, now it's constitutional.
Now it doesn't count. Yes, exactly. And, as I said, Don, the history of Obamacare, it was 100 years in the making. We've covered this before. It wasn't that we're all, wow, it was so great under George Bush, or even who was before Bush, Clinton, or even who was before Clinton, Bush, and who was before, the medical monopoly has been in place or been encroaching into placement for 100 years since the Flexner Report of 1910. And so this movement to the point of let's mandate it and no way out, no escape route, the things that I talk about here as well apply, same sense of how does a government steal your children, right? Say, well, you're not fit to parent because you're not giving your child risperidol. Never mind that it was the government-sanctioned vaccine that caused the psychiatric adverse event in the first place. You must drug your child. Now, how do they take your child? As the same question comes up, at least in my mind, Don, how is it that they can even mandate a human American to buy a product for which he or she may not ever want to avail themselves of? The drugs that are 100% Obamacare.
It's that creeping incrementalism that over time they've slowly eaten away at our liberties and our rights. And, you know, it's kind of like the analogy that people use when they're, you know, the frog in the pot, you know, the boiling the water and slowly heating up, which I believe is a wives' tale. But the meaning of it is it's a great analogy in that, you know, over time, just a little bit here and a little bit there to what we have today that we think are our rights and our liberties. If you went back 50 years ago, people would look at the state of things now and go, what the heck are you guys doing? How did you get here? And that's how it is. Just over time, they take a little bit away, and they dress it up as you know, we're doing this to protect you, and you were doing this to you know, stop these bad guys over here, and this is to make you safe. And you know, when they sell it to you that way on face value, if you really don't understand it and can't read between the lines, you look at it and go, oh, hey, the government's here to take care of us, and they're doing a good thing, and they're being our friend, and they're keeping us safe, when in reality, you know, really deep down, when you peel away the layers and you look at what's really going on there, they're taking our rights away. And there are things that we don't have the right to do today that, like I said, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents would just be appalled if they saw what was going on today.
Yeah, certainly. And the idea that we couldn't refuse to participate in medical insurance for which, again, no nutrition is involved anywhere in there. I mean, at this point, you got to be fully on drugs to not believe that a big part of our problem is a nutrient deficiency syndrome along across the board, and nothing in that mandate or nothing in the medical monopoly preceding it was supportive of true preventive maintenance, much less real healing and that promotion of reversal of disease, not by intoxicating it. Boy, we have a story. We get Dr. Bitar on later with Advanced Medicine Monday here kicking it off. I mean, there's a chemotherapeutic story, which is not. It's chemotoxic therapy, if you will, story that even it had us shaking our heads, and we're going to go into that. I'm sure that would be approved under Obamacare if you won the lottery. They'd allow you to go for it because I'm sure it's a very expensive treatment, but horrific, absolutely horrific, the things that are in there. And the love affair of ionizing radiation continues in allopathic medicine. They would want to mandate even more. I mean, I didn't cover this story. I was almost, it was too horrifying to cover it, but there was a koala bear in Australia that drooled too much. What do the veterinarian doctors do? You know this?
They decided to zap it with radiation.
They radiated
to cure the drooling. Yes.
They radiated the salivary glands of a koala bear. How? This, I mean, cruelty, that Nazi medicine on animals now, not only humans, but animals as well. I have a feeling that this is what we would have to look forward to if Obamacare is found constitutional on the Supreme Court level. I mean, this is the kind of crazy medicine. You come in, you're salivating. Well, you seem to be drooling a little too much. Let's just radiate those salivary glands and send you on your way. It's very inexpensive. We've got extra nuclear fissible material because of all the Fukushima radiation. We're just pulling it out of the sky. We're just going to drop it into your doctor's office. We'll nuke your salivary glands. This is the kind of insanity that we're talking about here. It isn't just the fact that, yes, I am in opposition to this so-called mandate, but what it is they're mandating. Now, prior to that, of course, if it were homeopathic medical insurance, I would still be opposed to a mandate because it violates, it flies in the face of freedom, the very foundation of the American culture, if we still identify with it, if we still adopt it, still believe it has anything to do with a constitutional reality. If not, of course, give Obama 4 more years. And then we've got, of course, you know, the so-called Republican opposition. Again, I talked more about this on yesterday's show with GCN. You'll have to link up through robertscadbell.com. It'll send you right to the, you know, one of the things to GCN to listen to the archives from yesterday's show. I had a lot to say about it. But you've got basically establishment of candidates, fake Tea Party people, and then you've got Ron Paul. So if anybody gets in besides Ron Paul, you tell me, anybody that doesn't like Ron Paul out there, that you could find a non-establishment candidate in any of the people running. And, of course, that includes Obama. He is part of the very much entrenched establishment. Whether he intended to do so or not is irrelevant at this point. This is where you got it. This is where it's gone. And when we, you know, consider the Obamacare legislation, we got to look at beyond that. What is the executive branch of government doing out in the world today? Well, it's also going after farmers. It's going after people who dare to want to purchase raw milk, much less produce it. It's going after gardeners. I mean, this is what our federal government is doing. This is so outrageous. Nobody in their right mind, and of course those that argue for it are not in their right mind, in my humble opinion, would argue that this is constitutional. Much less much of what the federal government is doing today is constitutional, including, again, the FDA, including the Department of Education, including the Department of Energy, including the Environmental Protection Agency. All of these agencies that are basically trying to control and manipulate everybody and everything from the states on down to the people, you might say it's for a good cause, but it's actually creating more destructive responses or results. And so now if you actually stand against any of those things, somebody on the left will call you an absolute nutcase kook or terrorist, and on the right, they'll say similar things, honestly. In the Republican establishment, they're still saying Ron Paul is just out in left field, and they're still going to say that about even some of the things that Bachman? Yeah, that she's saying, even though she's pretty much an establishment. I saw her on some of the interview circuit as well. She says, well, I don't compromise on big things. What? What is that? Oh, but on the little things you will? Well, that tells me all I need to know about your character. The idea of compromise is interesting, certainly in a marriage where you're committed to be together and you compromise on certain things, you have certain things. But if you're talking about compromising principle in terms of we'll compromise the Constitution when it's convenient and suitable, not in the big things, but the little things. But Obamacare is a big thing. The EPA is a big thing. The FDA is a big thing. The freedom to consume food unadulterated by the federal government, that is a big thing. And these are the things the feds are fighting against: your freedom to care for your body, to know what supplements do. The extremists are in government. The extremists are entrenched in the bureaucratic oligarchy. They're not out here with us. They're not out here reading natural news. These are the people that love liberty. You know, and Mike Adams is letting loose on natural news. It's been great, the things that are happening, the growth of this new media. And I'm glad you're here with me to do so every day. It is Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We've got lots more healing to do. In fact, next hour, Dr. Rasha Bitar, and we're going to cover a lot of interesting things, including some cancer topics, treatment of cancer topics. But first, the cancer of big government. We're going to answer some of those questions that I have for Tom Woods. How can we more effectively communicate the message of liberty? I'm not going to talk so much about the straw poll issue with Tom, even though I know I can. I really want to get to the bottom line of how do we effectively communicate the message of liberty. Tom Woods, author of Rollback, Nullification, so many other wonderful books, comes up next right here, right now on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Go to robertscottbell.com, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, and at naturalnewsradio.com. Back after this.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hold that shrimp on the barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
We are back, and who is back on the Robert Scott Bell Show but one of my favorites, one of my heroes out there. He's the author of Nullification and many other books, and we've interviewed him on many times. Tom Woods joins me now. We're going to be together later in the week, in fact, at the Nullify Now conference that the 10th Amendment Center is sponsoring in Kansas City, and I hope to see everybody there. Tom, it's great to have you back on board.
Thanks, Robert. Always a pleasure.
Now, Tom, we had, you know, of course, things in Iowa happening last week. The debate was happening. It was very interesting to see how the movement towards discussion that was never, words that were never said, topics that were never covered in the Republican debates before Ron Paul became a part of it. Now, 4 years later, after running in 08, now running for 12, you have Newt Gingrich arguing for auditing the Fed. What is going on?
Yeah, it was interesting that on the economy, you know, at least a few of them were trying to sound a little bit like him. The others, I would say the more doltish ones, couldn't even sound like him, much less plausibly be him. So from some of them, we got the traditional GOP boilerplate about taxes and spending. But only from Ron Paul himself did we get the full message, which is that, you know, you can have all these 1980s-era economic plans you want, but if you're not going to go after the root cause of why the economy keeps going up and down with these serial bubbles that we keep enduring, if we're not going to talk about the Federal Reserve putting the economy on these unsustainable sugar highs, then you're never going to get to the root of the problem. But, yeah, of course, it is gratifying to hear that after 30-plus years in public life, Newt Gingrich has finally found time to pencil into his schedule 1.5 minutes of outrage about the Federal Reserve. That was something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying...
Now that all of a sudden it's popular to do so,
right,
by an interesting coincidence.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I necessarily believe that he believes it. I don't, because he's, you know, as a politician, I don't have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, he's not a stupid guy, but at the same time, you know, we've been following Ron Paul for a long time, and the fact that, you know, 30-plus, 40 years ago now, when Nixon closed the gold window, it's just spurred him to action. He's been saying the same message all that time. But, you know, we're also very concerned that the message is received. You know, you wrote a piece of... A positive critique is like, how do we communicate the message that it is actually heard? Because it's not like, for me, when I talk about health and healing, I want people that maybe have no training in this to be able to understand what I'm saying so they can apply in their lives and change. I want to see the same thing happen in terms of the economy and foreign policy. And you have a great way with communication. You put out some suggestions. Maybe they can help all of us, including Ron Paul.
Well, I wrote two things in the wake of the debate. The night of the debate itself, I wrote the official statement from Revolution PAC, which I belong to, which is a pro-Ron Paul super PAC, so-called. And we wrote that as so that we could weigh in on it, and I explained that I think he's heroic. He says things nobody else will say. He stands up for peace, even with seven creepazoids staring him in the face on that stage. And it's incredible that he has the courage to do it. I sometimes wonder if I would have the courage to do it in that sort of environment. But at the same time, I said, you know, I love this guy. I would crawl over broken glass for this guy. I mean, apart from Kucinich, there's nobody in the Democratic Party who would utter any of the truths we heard on television last week. That's just a fact. So he has to be respected, I think. But the question becomes, what, you know, we can all of us can all do better at something. Right?
Yes.
I mean, nobody's perfect. We can always improve some aspect of our package. Now, Ron Paul's package, in my opinion, the great things about him are his personal integrity, his unmatched record politically, where he has said what he believes and just done that for 12 terms and his vast knowledge of a great many things. That's very, very rare to find in a politician. But I think he is sometimes trying too hard in the debates. He's trying to tell people – he's got so much to tell them about the Federal Reserve and the economy and business cycles and why the economy goes up and down in the first place. And meanwhile, the rest of them are content to just utter their talking points and get out. And I don't mean that I want him to be a plastic man like them. I mean, that would take away all his appeal, and it would be horrifying, and he'd never do it anyway.
Right.
But I am saying that sometimes that message, we got to be less ambitious about what we can get across when we've got 30 seconds. We got to say, you know, there are some things I can get across when Time magazine comes to interview me. But tonight, these are the short little points I want to leave people with. And for heaven's sake, he could even say, listen, everybody, just type my name into YouTube and watch.
Right.
Because there are so many great Ron Paul YouTubes, they could find out on their own. So I would say that don't use terms like business cycle. Nobody even knows what that is apart from you, me, and seven other people. We've got to – I mean, Ron Paul, I think it's great that he believes the American public is that educated, and he's not insulting or talking down to them.
Yes.
But frankly, they're not. That well informed,
no.
That's what I would caution about things like that.
Yeah, I realize that many people are of adult age, but may not have adult knowledge regarding the things like the economy. You say the business cycle, and I'm thinking, is it a bicycle? Is it a tricycle? Is it a unicycle? I mean, that's where they're going with that.
But if you just simply say something like, if we just talk about, you know, some Republican House plan to make some minor change to the economy, we're never going to get to the root of the problem if it doesn't address why is our economy going up and down and up and down and up and down in the first place. Now, just put it that way, that could be understandable. So just be more modest in what you expect to get across. And as I say, it's admirable that he's dying for the American public to know things, but I think if his 30-second spots were tighter and focused on simpler points, then people on their own would then investigate him, and then they'd have their time to watch the 10-minute videos.
Mm, very, very powerful points there. And again, we're all about efficiency of communication. It isn't enough to know something and even try to relate it. We want to relate it so that people actually can access it, grasp it, understand it, chew on it, and then apply it if they can. Test it out. As we know, the things that Ron Paul talks about in the Austrian school, and even that, when you say the Austrian school, most Americans go, well, there's a school in Austria. Can I attend? How do I learn? You know, so there are ways to communicate things on the economy as well beyond just the business cycle. You say up and down. You're like, well, that's, you know, those are simple words, but so much of the American electric operates on one syllable words.
And so, and it's, you don't even have to compromise the purity of the message, because there is an elegant simplicity to the message of liberty. Just mind your own business, don't rip anybody off, and be honest. I mean, that's the basic message, and then, of course, you can make it more complicated, but that's all he's saying. He's saying that if that message holds for you and me as regular Americans, it holds for bankers, it holds for everybody on the receiving end of bailouts, it holds for politicians. These simple moral principles we were taught as kids are basically all he's advocating, but across the board and consistently. And I would, moreover, urge that he does have to distinguish himself from the other candidates. If they're all going to start talking about the Fed and they're going to talk about their record on spending, then he can't rely on people to go to YouTube or go to Google and discover that he's got a better record than all of them put together. And I know this is not his way, because he wants to keep this a philosophical discussion and not involve names. So he doesn't have to single anybody out.
Right.
But it would be very dramatic if he said, a show of hands, how many people on this debate stage predicted the crisis of 2008 and were critical of the Federal Reserve back when it was unfashionable? Does that describe anybody
that
on this stage?
That is a brilliant visual to see that occurring. Brilliant.
Because, I mean, that would – even though he would hate every minute of doing that, that would do two extraordinary things. It would fire up his base even more than it is already. It would give them a great kick in the you-know-what in the back there.
Yeah, yeah.
And secondly – it would urge other people. People would wake up and say, whoa, who is this guy? And did he really predict this? And how did he know? And that's all it takes, is that one fateful Google search, and you get hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. And if we talk about the Federal Reserve, more people are becoming aware of the, again, as evidence, a symptom like Gingrich saying, oh, we need to audit it. So even though the complex ideas are being communicated, it's over the long haul that this has occurred. We're talking about needing to reach a lot of people in a short burst to really elevate the stature status for the voting public. I mean, this is the efficiency of what running for office is, and that's what we're looking at: efficiency, effectiveness. You have some other insights in that regard, whether it be about the Fed or other things, and I'm fascinated to hear them because I look at this even beyond Ron Paul. All of us, our ability to communicate is enhanced by the ability to do so simply.
Well, in my own case, I feel like this is basically either writing or doing public speaking. That's pretty much the only talent I have, and when people think I'm just being modest, I have to remind them, look, I've never even changed a tire. Like, I don't know how to do the most basic things. In fact, I'm 39 years old, and it was only about 3 months ago that, for the first time, I scrambled an egg. I mean, this is a serious problem.
Big news, Robert. Tom. Okay? Front page.
So it's not to say that I'm better than anybody or anything like that, but that everybody's got something to bring to the table here. And that's one of the beautiful things about this whole Ron Paul phenomenon is that we have people who, in some cases, let's say, will only agree with some portion of his positions, but they agree so passionately they're going to support him anyway, and they focus on that. We have other people who agree with everything he says, but they've got one particular talent that they use to express these views, whether they, maybe they're graphic designers, or they make YouTubes, or they're great rally organizers, or they donate funds, or what. There's something for everybody in here, and we're all just regular Americans. I mean, I as I said, I work for a PAC and for him to support Ron Paul's efforts, the Revolution PAC. I'm not making any salary from this. I'm doing it, which is not true of pretty much any other person.
Oh, certainly in a PAC as well.
I don't take a salary. Yeah. I just want to help promote this thing. This is one thing that I can do, and I'm surrounded now in this thing by people who have talents that if I had five lifetimes, I couldn't acquire. Mm-hmm. Who can take some of the ideas that I might have about how do we get ads, whether TV, radio, newspaper, billboards, get them out there that distinguish him, that don't just portray him as some plain vanilla Reagan Republican, but say, look, folks, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to vote for somebody you can actually be proud of who's a real human being. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a scandal that we would even consider any of these phonies who are up against him.
Yeah, and it is something that I find so interesting, and that's an understatement, is that you saw the spontaneous thing happen back in 08, 07, 08 around Ron. And I say it's not worshipful, because I don't worship the man. I respect him immensely, and you know, the sincerity he is, as you said, a real human, unlike most politicians. But that people are going out of their way creatively, spending their own money, doing their own time, not asking for anything. A lot of this is spontaneous outside of the realm of the official campaign, including the Revolution Super PAC that you're involved with. Why would people be so inspired to do that, whereas these other candidates have to bus people in, pay them big money, and all of these things, and orchestrate this? Everything's scripted. And here we are just trying to, you know, find a way to communicate clearly these messages that will go well beyond. I think we'll look back one day and look at Ron and go, wow, this guy was in our midst. Not like he was a demigod or something, but he was so prescient about what he knew and that he withstood all of the temptations and was not touched by them.
Well, in that debate last week where they were talking about Iran and they're all ready to go to war with them, and he stood up and said, okay, let's see, this would be war number six that would be going on simultaneously. We got a bankrupt country. We're already blowing trillions of dollars on these wars, apart from the moral question. And then he says, but moreover, a lot of these wars could have been avoidable if we had just minded our own business. And he looked at Rick Santorum and basically said he was a war propagandist. I mean, you just don't see that. And that's why there is this type of response, that he's not plastic. He doesn't have rehearsed responses. He's a regular person, and he'll say forbidden things that no Democrat and no Republican will say. And beyond that, he has the record to prove it. It's not just that he says bold things. You can watch a YouTube interview with Ron Paul from 1983, and he's saying exactly the same things as he's saying now. In fact, he could take his old campaign literature from 1982 and use it in his campaign today.
Yeah, it is stunning. That's rooted in principle for sure. We got to take a quick break here. Tom, can you hang out for a few more minutes with me today?
Sure, gladly.
Honored to have you on board. Tom Woods is my guest. He's the author of Rollback, Nullification, Meltdown, and so many others. TomWoods.com is where to find him, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Revolution Super PAC as well. A message of health, freedom, and liberty with the Robert Scott Bell Show. Tom's in on it, and we're going to be together at the Nullify Now Conference coming up August 20th in Kansas City. I hope to see you there. We're coming right back.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us, 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
You're amazing. You are something else.
Robert Scott Bell.
He has both style and substance.
Robert Scott Bell.
How much power do talk radio hosts really have?
This is transformational, and it's awesome.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Back and rocking the health world. Liberty on the line here. We're talking about how the message of liberty is communicated. Tom Woods, I consider him a friend. I think he's just got such great energy and humor every time we get together. You feel uplifted, and I smile anyway. And, Tom, thank you again for being here to communicate this message.
Well, my pleasure. Absolutely, Robert. My pleasure.
Now, the Revolution Super PAC is interesting because I remember watching, was it not The Daily Show? What's that other one? Stephen Colbert, the Colbert Report. Right?
Yeah.
He came out with this thing called a Super PAC, and it was the first time I had ever heard of that. What he was going to do with it, I don't know. And then the next thing I know, Tom Woods is involved in a Super PAC too. The revolution continues. Maybe you can explain to everybody what this is, how it is or is not officially connected to a campaign, but what it's all about.
Yeah, we're not allowed to have any official connection with the campaign according to FEC rules. A Super PAC has only been allowed to exist since some court cases decided it in 2010. So it's a very new thing on the scene. But to make a long story short, it allows a person or a business or an organization to donate an unlimited amount. So it's there is no restriction as there is on a presidential campaign or a political campaign where you can donate only $2,500. You can donate whatever you want. So Mitt Romney's super PAC, keeping in conformity with what we'd expect, we just saw recently that a dummy corporation started up, donated $1 million to Mitt Romney's super PAC, and then dissolved. I mean, like, is that not Mitt Romney in a nutshell right there? Is that not it?
Well, we saw the list of his donors, and they were like the laundry list of all the people responsible for the economic crash of 08 and before.
Exactly. Whereas we are basically – we're just regular people. Like, we don't have connections to a lot of multimillionaires we can just get on the phone. He raised $12 million from 90 people.
Wow.
You know, I mean, that's these people, Robert, I think have more money than you and me put together. That would be Yes.
That would be an understatement. So and you're talking about a gang of friends getting together, you know, at the clubhouse going, hey, let's get together and have fun. We love liberty. What can we do to help? And it's like this passion, enthusiasm. And you know, it's not these big multinational corporations behind any of this.
That's right. As I say, we're just regular people doing the best we can to use this new avenue as a way to spread the message and to take some of this great grassroots enthusiasm and make sure that it can really be felt and make sure that some advertising will be done that will grab people, that will differentiate him. We don't just want ads that say Ron Paul was a doctor and he knew Ronald Reagan. You know, I mean, that's just not going to crack through. We got to grab people, and we've got so many talents here at our disposal. So I hope people can check it out, Revolution PAC, P-A-C, revolutionpac.com. We're actually planning a huge so-called money bomb for September 19th. And after that, we're going to take these we use every penny of these funds conscientiously. As I said, I'm not taking any salary. There are no six-figure salaries or five-figure expense reimbursements or $700 bottles of wine going on at this thing. We're extremely tight, very, very careful with how conscientious about how the money is spent. It's all to just make sure that this message gets out.
Yeah, and I want to understand my listeners, because there's all kinds of political viewpoints that read Natural News, that listen to Natural News Radio,
sure,
and the Robert Scott Bell Show. This is a genuine human interest story to me. You know, and I'm very I don't hide my perspective on Ron Paul and my support. That's not the point here. But the point is, this is bigger than that. We talk about a debt that is unsustainable, that our children and grandchildren are being enslaved to something that, you know, it's not their – just they're born, they become enslaved. It's not right. And so the message and the people coming together spontaneously to do these things, this is genuine human interest and concern for the future, much less the health of the nation and everyone in it. And that's why, you know, I love Tom Woods and everything that he's doing, and the Super PAC is great news, great information, and it is pushing the I guess you could say the meme of liberty forward and the reality of liberty forward and restoring it where it needs to be.
Well, I want to make clear that I don't, of course, want to at all make the casual assumption that, of course, all your listeners are on board with Ron Paul and we can just take this for granted. But as somebody who is on board with him, of course, I have the enthusiasm of the typical Ron Paul supporter. But as you say, it's also just a human interest story, that how rare it is that you would have this sort of phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rick Perry has a super PAC. I mean, do you think that's run by regular people, you know, on the weekends
yeah,
and weeknights, carving out some time? I mean, come on now. And do you think that these fat cats who send $1 million to Mitt Romney, you think they're sending him that money out of a deep philosophical commitment to whatever middle-of-the-road non-principle he holds that week? I mean, really? You can't even ask the question with a straight face. So that is significant that this sort of thing is happening. And as I say, there is really nobody on either side of the aisle, certainly not going to hear this from Obama, who is going to be talking about health freedom, who's going to talk about, you know, one of his first speeches after he announced he was running, he talked about raw milk.
Yes.
I mean, who is going to talk to you about that? No one's going to treat you like an adult. Who's going to talk to you about war? Who's going to say that the neocons are war propagandists, that the White House is war propagandists? Who's going to stand up to both parties, to the whole establishment, to all of Washington, D.C.? I don't see it. If there's somebody else, I'd love to know who it is, but I don't see that person.
No, I don't either. And you know, this is the thing. This is really, as you said, almost a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime event to have someone like this running for office at this level at a time of such, you know, real crisis in the country. I mean, the bankruptcy itself, as Ron has mentioned, I mean, it's already happened a number of times. Last week I covered a story of Al Green. We call him Al Green, but Alan Greenspan. He basically said, listen, there's no problem with the debt. We can just print more money, print more money, print more money. You know, who wound him up? And Goolsbee, who was a former White House economic advisor, you should see the face. It's like the blood rushed away from his face. He's like, oh, Al, you weren't supposed to say it that clearly. And that reality is becoming part and parcel for the average, just any American Joe Sixpack to now go, wait a second, that is a problem. Who's going to do something about it? And so this is a change. This has never happened in my lifetime.
Oh, the fact that this is being openly talked about and that the general public is little by little starting to catch on, in spite of the fact that for years and years the issue of the Federal Reserve was just kept off the table and you're not entitled to an opinion on it and you're probably a crank if you want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly people are wondering, maybe the so-called experts in charge, if we can even contemplate this terrible possibility, are clueless. Maybe they're flailing around, desperately looking, just trying everything, this knob, that lever, to see if something will work. And then when they finally have to resort to, we can just print the money. And when that's what they're offering us as their advice, you know we're at the end of the line, really.
Mm.
And this is not an approach that is going to do anything for the average person other than just wipe him out, wipe out his what meager savings he might have. I mean, the wealthy can always – typically negotiate their way through an inflation if they know what they're doing. They can put their money, get it out of dollars, put it into something else. And typically it's the well-connected. When the Fed creates new money, they tend to get the new money first before the prices rise, commensurate with the new money, so they enjoy a windfall that way. This is just a way of once again stiffing it to the average person, but it's a way that most people don't perceive. So it's great that people are waking up and realizing maybe the Federal Reserve System, which was created by the big bankers, it wasn't created by some outraged progressive general public. Give me a break. It was created by the bankers themselves. Maybe has something other than the well-being of the average American at heart. I mean, maybe there's a teensy-weensy chance of that.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the so-called liberal left and their belief in the nanny state, or you might not like you calling it that, but let's just call it the social safety net. When we talk about the need that, well, the reality that many have become dependent upon it, this is now over generations here in America, it seems that, as I've heard even from the Democrats, they don't have a plan to salvage it or save it other than to print more money, borrow more money, beg for more tax money from some people that still may have a little bit. And, you know, Congressman Paul, who's no fan of the welfare state, says, listen, if we could bring our troops home, that alone would, you know, allow us to sustain or tide over as we transition to a point where the American people begin to take care of themselves or each other via charity instead of the theft and then the redistribution, while most of it is gobbled up in the bureaucracy.
That's right. In fact, that's one of his points has been that he has certain priorities, and his first priority is not, you know, take health care away from children. I mean, obviously you have to figure out some way to help people transition them through this difficult time, but one way you do that is get rid of a lot of this unnecessary so-called defense spending. Of course, none of it's defense. It's all offense.
Right.
I mean, it really should be the Department of Offense. We have to start cutting that back, and that can be done so easily. The defense budget has doubled over the past 10 years. Doubled. Doubled. I mean, what has the size of the country doubled? Hmm. Have the number of people in the country doubled? I mean, has there been anything that would justify this? It's a lot of special interests. When we think special interests, we very rarely think about the military-industrial complex, but that is the biggest special interest of all. And absolutely, we should the wars are horrific injustices in and of themselves, but they're also incredibly costly. And so what his argument is that the welfare state programs are in big trouble no matter what, but only I can actually prop up the system at least long enough to help people transition away from them.
Right.
Because at least I will do something about the warfare state, which hardly anyone even on the other side of the aisle is seriously contemplating doing.
Well, that is the big challenge. I mentioned, you know, on one side, the left has the belief in the welfare system. On the other side, it's the warfare system. And we truly see that both kind of intersperse, and it's hard to tell them apart nowadays. But when we talk about the warfare state, when we talk about defense, which we're not doing, you mentioned it's national offense. I think one of the efficiency of communication issue, you know, I even talked to Ron on my program about this, saying, listen, can you just boil it down to say this? Listen, you want to defend the country. How do you expect to defend the country when you can't pay for the soldiers to fly anywhere, much less fly home when we're out of money? And have them think about that and go, yeah, if I want defense, we better be able to pay for it. And I'm thinking there's got to be a better way to communicate it so that even those neocons, which some of them are beyond help, I know, but some of them are coming over. There's a lot of evidence of people that used to believe that way.
Oh, that's right. And I think when he said in the debate, look, a lot of our troubles come from the fact that we just don't mind our own business. Mm. Well, that appeals to a strain of conservatism that the neocons have tried to suppress, but just a strain of common sense. You know, gosh, we can't right all the wrongs of the world, and half of them aren't even wrongs. But that's a message that I think he is conveying in a lot of his television interviews, that, you know, we can do this like adults. Mm-hmm. We can downsize this whole thing like adults now, or we can wait until we're in the midst of a currency crisis, and then we have to evacuate all the troops from everywhere, and it looks like a fiasco.
You're right.
I mean, with civil unrest at home, I mean, are those the circumstances in which we want to retrench and reduce our domestic and foreign ambitions, or do we want to do it now when we still enjoy relative calm?
Exactly. Well, we can do it in an orderly fashion and afford to do so. That's actually a brilliant point, brilliantly stated. Tom Woods, we're going to be together coming up August 20th at the Nullify Now conference. Any special presentation? Because you just knock it out of the park when you do your thing. You got any twists and turns we should preview so everybody's going to want to be there?
Well, I'm going to be planning. You know, I've been doing a lot of these, and the problem is, how can I say the same thing different ways each time? But each time I am coming up with different ways of doing it. But yeah, basically, this is an event for all those people who don't believe that we just vote for so-and-so and it solves our problem. Mm-hmm. That maybe the whole system needs to be started over, that we need to think outside the box and not just think somewhere in between the New York Times and the Weekly Standard, that maybe there are some alternatives to this.
Yes.
So I'm going to be basically saying some forbidden things. And I've got a link to it at tomwoods.com and also at nullifynow.com. You can get the details of the event.
Also, yeah, any group that invites me to speak, you've got to be curious about. So I'll be there too. So
yeah, that's right. I mean, we love Robert Scott Bell. How bad could we be?
Well, you're willing to live dangerously, and I love that. And tomwoods.com, revolutionpack.com. That's a super pack. If you're curious on how to support, you really are keyed up for this message of liberty. They certainly could use all the help that they can get, and there's no limit to the amount of help that you can give them, so I'm pleased to let loose on that as well. Tom Woods, always a pleasure to have you on board here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Robert. Thank you.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. That would be Dr. Ahira's Probiotics 12. Dr. Ahira, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation skills with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Ahira's Probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research, 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
The information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thanks again to Tom Woods for dropping by for the message of political, economic, and other avenues of healing beyond just the health that we cover as a basis here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Shout out as well to Prepper Podcast Radio Network for picking up the broadcast stream every day, in addition to our home here at naturalnewsradio.com. And robertscadbell.com. Once again, I look forward to seeing all of you in the Midwest in Kansas City on August 20th. We're going to rock the health world with some nullification and remind you that if permission is not required, don't ask. Live your birthright, and that birthright includes the freedom to heal. Now, what about the birthright of those outside of America? Do they have a birthright in healing? It's questionable because the United Nations may not think so, as their UNICEF organization is focal pointing on an African refugee crisis, what? To take advantage of that crisis to promote 300,000 Kenyan children for vaccination. Now, this story was covered by Ethan Huff just this Saturday on naturalnews.com. And you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. Those are the now infamous words uttered by former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel during the early days of this currently in motion financial meltdown, and they're the ones that ring eerily true with a new vaccination campaign taking place in Kenya. Now, this is what passes for foreign aid. We would argue here on the Robert Scott Bell Show that foreign aid is unconstitutional unless you do it of your own free will. You can send your money to organizations that support causes around planet Earth, including, if you like, vaccines with the Gates Foundation. I would argue against that. But here, through UNICEF and the United States membership of the United Nations, indirectly and directly, U.S. taxpayers are footing the bill for assaulting innocent Kenyan children into vaccinations for which they have no deficiency. What they are deficient in are certain key nutrients because their soils may have depleted. What they are deficient in is adequate hygiene, sanitation, etc. In a refugee status, this will breed all kinds of diseases for which vaccination is not the ideal or optimal preventive technique. It is, I suppose, if your goal is to profit off of the ailments and illnesses and ignorance of poor people of planet Earth. But even this happens here in the United States, as the World Health Organization's localized minions in America, the Centers for Disease Creation and Promotion, the CDC and P, are actually going to frighten you to death this fall about the next latest flu vaccine. Well, they're not going to frighten you about the vaccine, but they're going to frighten you about the flu so that you get the vaccine. And of course, if you read Natural News, if you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, you'll know better. And more Americans are waking up to this reality. But that's why the pharmaceutical global industrial complex is seeking to target those that are therapy naive. And they're going to target also the rock stars like Bono that are freaking idiots. I'm sorry to have to be mean and direct like this about this, thinking, oh, we're so mean unless we promote these toxic interventions and vaccines in Africa. You know, and they do the same thing with AIDS. These orphans need drugs. No, they don't. They need nutrition. They need some vitamin L. Give them some love, for God's sake. But no, it's all about the drugs. It's all about the vaccines. And this is a perpetual scam. It's a perpetual abomination. And that's what I'd like to see halted, but I realize it's not going to happen until the people stand up and become civilly disobedient to the medical industrial cartel or complex. And so what we have here in America is not civil disobedience as a problem. It's civil obedience that has become the problem. And now in Africa, they're starting to wake up to the reality that the Europeans and the Americans may be bugged out of their minds because they might be sincere. Because honestly, there's a lot of people who are sincerely believing, oh my gosh, we just have to vaccinate these people. But the reality is, whether it's sincere or not, it's irrelevant. Because the medicaments, the toxins, the foreign RNA and DNA that are being injected into the people, the children of planet Earth, are not there in reality to protect these children, but they're there to promote an agenda of population control, population reduction, sterilization. And you've got people around the West saying, oh, it's these Muslims, you can't trust them because they don't trust the vaccines. And they're going to claim religious freedom is going to be to blame for the next outbreak, when it is the abject poverty on the African continent that is to blame, and much of the colonialism that still exists through foreign aid, treating these people as if they are not human, they can't take care of themselves. If they can go back to their ancestry and understand that the medicine is in the bush and that they could rehabilitate the soil. If Gates wants to do something with all his trillions, let him put water systems, give them clean water, for God's sake, give them adequate sanitation, and you will see these diseases eradicate before they even become the pandemics that they are induced to be by the pharmaceutical agenda and nightmare and the genocide that is taking place there. And I should say, even here in America, as they promote, yes, oh, Governor Rick Perry of Texas, he's the next savior of the Republican Party. He's the one that had the connections with Big Pharma and said all girls in Texas should be injected for human papillomavirus before they're allowed entry into school. Thank you, but no thank you, Rick Perry. You have nothing in common with the true Tea Party that wants to reduce the size and scope and intervention of big government. You will be revealed to be the phony that you are very soon. So I'm not concerned. Of course, I'm talking about Rick Perry, big expose on Natural News Mike Adams is working on and revealing about the Big Pharma president-to-be. Is he the Bilderberg, the one-world order eaters, the order people? Is he their selection to replace Obama that will keep the meme going, that will keep the industrial complex in power, pharmaceutical and medical and military? Is that where we're going? To me, as I've said, and I'm very clear, as is Mike Adams on this, it's either Ron Paul or it's nobody. I'm sorry, that seems to be, oh, that's outrageous, Robert. It's a little extreme. No, what is extreme is accepting the violations of life, liberty, and property as a way of life. That is not a way of life. That is not a way of liberty. And what we promote here is the sanctity and the protection of life, liberty, and property, a big part of this when I talk about health, freedom, and liberty. That is inherent in it. That's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show every day, isn't it? And tell your friends as well as Natural News. The Robert Scott Bell Show here to do so. We're going to be back after this short break with Dr. Rashid Bitar. We're going to cover some fascinating stuff about the things you need to know before you go see a doctor, any doctor. And, of course, the things to avoid as well. You can go to robertscottbell.com, check out all the links for today's show and more. Sign up for news alerts, email alerts at naturalnewsradio.com. And we'll be right back after this. But in the meantime, remember this, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. Ohira, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Ohira's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Broadcasting on the Prepper Podcast Radio Network at www.prepperpodcast.com. Your number one prepper, survivalist, preparedness, and homesteading radio network. Visit the Prepper Podcast today.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Kicking it higher into gear right now on Advanced Medicine Monday here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. One of my favorite times as we launch the weekday. And it is the second hour on Mondays. It is Dr. Rashid Batar. He's back with me. Dr. Batar, so glad to have you back on board.
Always good to be here, Robert.
Well, it's been quite an exciting weekend in terms of political stuff going on and people, you know, getting more aware of the issues of freedom, pointing out more of the absurdities of those who don't get it. And they think freedom is slavery and vice versa. But when we talk, we can certainly comment on a lot of that. I don't mean to drive you right into politics because we have fun discussing that. But I thought first and foremost, maybe we can launch with the idea of patient compliance. I don't like the idea of compliance because it sounds sort of like, well, you must comply. But I understand it too. As a homeopath, people come to me and they look for help. And I say, look, these are the things my experience shows you need to do. Now, if you don't want to do it, that's cool. I respect you, but it's not going to help me to help you. However, there's big controversy and there's a big story on USA Today recently about this where patients don't seemingly tell their doctors everything about what they do or don't do. I have a sense that when they come to see you, Dr. Batar, they're fully forthright. They're willing to tell you anything.
You know, this is an interesting subject because one of the greatest frustrations, I think, in medicine overall for physicians is patient compliance. And you've probably heard people, when I say people, doctors complaining about how patients won't follow the instructions. You know, doc, it hurts every time I do this. Well, then why are you doing it? Don't do it type of thing.
Yes.
You know, why? So doctors have a lot of frustration with that. And I think the reason that patients don't tell their doctors a lot is because they inherently have a conflict within themselves because they know that they need to go see the doctor because that's what they're supposed to do when they're sick. But at the same time, they know based upon past experience and family history of seeing other family members and friends that have had similar problems that haven't gotten better. And there's a greater growing distrust among the general population for the general medical profession as it is. So I think that issue of patients not telling their doctors everything and not being forthright with them is a great frustration for most physicians. And as you just stated, I think for you probably it's very different, just like it is for me, because I honestly have no issue whatsoever with patient compliance. you know, I tell my patients I've been blessed that I have the luxury of choosing my patients.
Right. We've talked about that. That's an unusual thing. And people will say, well, that's kind of arrogant. I say, no, no, no. If you really want to be helped by your doctor, you want your doctor to be choosy, because you don't want a doc that's going to take any old thing on just because he wants patients. I mean, that doesn't make sense. If your goal is healing, you want this kind of alliance that two people are coming together and you've got the same goal and you're willing to work together. If not, of course, it's frustrating for you, it's frustrating for the doctor, and then you don't get well.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not a la carte, hey, I'll do this part, I don't want to do that part. You know, I'll ask a patient, for instance, example, I don't treat patients that are smokers. Now, I've had many people that have come to me that do smoke, but I tell them up front, I don't take care of smokers. So you want to be my patient? You got to stop smoking. If not, it was nice meeting you. Have a nice day. Have
right,
a nice
right.
life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've never had a patient that have said, oh, you know, I won't quit. Most people want to try and start quitting. I mean, that's why they're there. They're there to get better. And so they're willing to do whatever it takes. But, you know, in the rare circumstance that I have a patient where I can tell that they're not fully committed, I'll ask them simply, how committed are you to getting better? Or how committed are you to breaking this bad habit? Let's say smoking, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll have somebody say, you know, 80%. And I'll say, okay, good. And then I'll start writing it right in front of them. I'll say, okay, patient committed to 80% effort to stop smoking, and I, as their physician, will commit 80% effort to getting them better. And I'm writing this down and talking out loud.
Yes.
And you should see their face. It metamorphosizes. Wait a second, Doc. What do you mean you only know 80%?
Yes.
You know, what the hell do you expect from me? If you're not willing to put in 100%, how do you expect somebody else to do something when it's not even their health?
Well,
I'm here to do a job to get you better. I'm not here to stroke you, make you feel good, tell you what a great person you are. You want to do that? Go down to the family doc down the street and tell them, if I have to get in your face to get you better, I'm going to do it. Mm. But I take my job seriously, and I expect you to take your role seriously in the patient-doctor relationship. If you're not willing to take it seriously, then I don't have time to take care of you because I've got other people that need help.
Right.
And I think that attitude – and you know, I've been told many times before – that I have an arrogant bedside manner. And I tell them that I had a patient, actually, this is a funny story. She was a morbidly obese, type 2 diabetic, brittle diabetic in renal failure, who came to me. And this woman, while she was getting her treatments, would sit there and have candy bars in her purse, eating behind, you know, like without letting anybody know. And my nursing staff would come, Dr. Charles, you know, Miss So-and-so, she's got another candy bar.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember I walked in there, and I really chewed her out. I had my nursing staff come into the exam room, took her away from, apart from the other patients, and I told her. I laid it out to her. I mean, I just laid it out. And she was upset. She was almost to tears. And I told her, I said, look, you want to die? That's your choice. I have no problem with that, but you are not going to die while being my patient. It is not going to happen. It's not going to be in my watch. And I laid it out. She ended up telling one of my nursing staff that she goes, Dr. Buttar has the worst bedside manner. And then she kind of paused, and my nurse was laughing. She told me, she goes, but she also said that she would never trust anybody else except for you as being her doctor. So,
yes.
You know, the thing is that I think people want the honest truth, and the compliance issue, the reason I think most patients aren't forthright with their doctors is because inherently deep within themselves, I don't think they trust the system anymore.
Right.
And this transcends medicine. This goes into the politics and the economy and everything else we see around ourselves right now. And medicine is just a part and parcel of it. It's probably a greater part, yet all the more subdued, and people don't hear about it as much as we hear about the economic crisis and the political aspects, etc.
Sure.
But I think it's probably much more indicative of what's going on with society as far as the flaws and
I call it the seething underbelly.
Yes, that's it. That's a great way of putting it. The seething underbelly. We don't actually see it. It's not as perceivable, but it's there, and it's actually more inherent and more indicative with what's problematic.
Yeah,
with the entire system.
Yeah, I think that the docs, you know, again, we don't indict every doc, you know that, but we talk candidly and honestly about the system where, you know, we deal with and some of the people. I mean, honestly, there are a lot of good people out there that are trying to do their level best, and we laud them, applaud them, and want them, you know, on board with what we do here. But honestly, there are a lot that get into the system, get chewed up, and then they just kind of lose the reason that they may have gotten into it. And I think to some degree, the patients go, well, why should I tell my doctor the truth? They can tell the doctor's not into it. And, of course, if the patient actually talks to them about, let's say, a dietary supplement or two or a homeopathic medicine, they're often ridiculed, marginalized, even though the doctor may or may not have ever studied anything on it. And so it really doesn't breed a good relationship or rapport. But then again, sometimes those are the patients that don't want to know the truth. That's why they continue to subject themselves to what I would call medical neglect. You know, medical neglect is not when a parent doesn't vaccinate the child. It's when the doctor doesn't do the work to be, you know, up to speed on what really is going on.
And it's hard for a physician to instill confidence in the individual if, as you stated, they ridicule or really don't know what they're talking about. And the patient clearly knows that they don't know what they're talking about because it's not their area of expertise and they've never spent any time or invested any effort into learning about that particular mode that the patient may be questioning or may be inquiring on. Mm. So I think you're absolutely right. This is something that, you know, it breeds contempt. So the patients end up feeling more alienated, I guess.
Sure,
and
sure.
So they just go to the doctor because insurance is going to pay for it. They get whatever, you know, quick fix they need, but they're not going to tell them everything. And in fact, I'll tell you, I have patients of my own that are seeing other doctors, and they ask me, you know, should I continue seeing my other doctor? And I say, absolutely. You know, I don't take care of primary care stuff, so, you know, anything like that, you should go. And because already the medical board said, you know, that for me to tell a patient, in fact, this is inherent for the whole medical profession, for a doctor to tell another, to tell a patient not to go see another doctor is considered, quote, unethical.
Yeah.
So I encourage my patients to go and see anybody else. You know, sure. I tell them that's their own business.
You know, and I'm not even bound by any of those ethical rules because I'm not part of the medical system, but I agree. I said, listen, it's not for me to say don't see your doctor. I want to give you all the information I know about so you can make an informed decision about the path that you want to go. It's not for me to stand in your way. I just want to help you along the way to make better decisions.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, Robert, I'll tell you, this is my secret weapon. I tell them to go because I know that once they go to their regular doctor, it's just going to further their
yes.
confidence in me. So
yeah, exactly. You know what's out there. You know, and it's also funny you mentioned the I guess there's frustration is a good word too, but the docs also gain contempt for the patients because, you know, they're stuck in it and they're not, you know, I don't think that they went into the medical profession to one day realize that their patients knew more than they knew about stuff. I mean, that wasn't the way it was a lot of the 20th century. And over the last few couple of decades, for sure, the people have gotten access to information. I'm not saying that they're all smarter than doctors, but you know what I mean? They've studied now and the docs are going, gee, that wasn't part of my curriculum.
Well, actually, I think that to use the word contempt may be not strong enough because it's actually doctors have a tremendous ego. Hmm. You know, almost every healthy person has some level of ego. But in order to get better, that's one of the things you have to do is let go of your ego. And, of course, doctors are caught in that system, which is very ego-driven anyway, into that conventional system as it is. And the whole medical profession has a tremendous ego.
Yeah.
And I think there's that it's hard for that ego to maintain its egoness, if that's a word, while still allowing somebody else to give input to their own condition.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a tremendous ego, you know that, but when it comes to patient outcome, and I think this is where my patients really know the difference. When it comes to patient outcome, I have zero ego whatsoever. My goal is just to get them better. I don't care what it takes, how it's going to be done. I don't care whether it's the doctor down the street that's going to do it. If there's somebody that can take care of them better than me, I'm going to be the first one to send them there.
Yeah.
And I think they feel that or sense that or you know, they resonate with it or whatever the case is. And truth resonates, so I think they feel that. But I mean, everybody in the medical profession has an ego, and there's nothing wrong with having that ego. What the problem is when the ego interferes with the or actually not only interferes but actually blocks the ability of the doctor to do what's best for the patient because
right.
their ego is first and foremost on their agenda and not the patient's best interest of the patient's outcome.
Listen, it's easy once you're learned in a certain realm in medicine or even homeopathy to dismiss out of hand anybody coming with other ideas, but you know, I've always taken the attitude that, you know, if a patient comes to me with something that's working for them, I don't dismiss it out of hand. I want to know more about it. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, that's where, yeah, I could have an ego, too, as a broadcaster, is what I do in homeopathy. But, I mean, if I'm not invested in having the patient get well by any means, as I've said this many times, there are Hahnemaniacs, which are the early adopters of Samuel Hahnemann, who believe only one single homeopathic remedy should be given at any time. Any more than that, it's heresy. And then there are those that, you know, work clinically and find that it may take more than that, maybe even combinations to address multiple things that are environmental that didn't exist 200 years ago. Among the German peasants, certainly, the farmers, if you will. And I think there's a point where you just let go of what you know, not to discard the knowledge, but to say, I'm always going to be open to embrace or learn something new. And that makes healing so exciting.
Well, Robert, I appreciate what you said, but to me, it's I don't even understand how they can be any other way or option. I mean,
yes,
it seems so alien to me that if we're taught A, B, and C, and somebody comes up and says, hey, you know, there's a way to actually keep count of the herd of animals and the number of herd animals in your herd without using the alphabet, and it's called the number system. And hey, let me show it. I mean, to me, it would be, wait a second, this is a better tool for me to be able to utilize. What part of that is not, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me to see that there's any other option. And yet that seems to be the mainstay, that it's a very protective, like, you know, this is my territory, this is my knowledge, and anybody who comes in and says something otherwise is stepping into my arena, my boundary, my turf. Mm. And yet, to me, it seems most evident that if you can take care of the individual, regardless of what turf or what tool or what modality that you use, and you get a better outcome, then why would you not want to garner that knowledge? Because the lack of that knowledge is only hurting you, yourself, from being as good as you can be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to talk more about this. It seems like the turf wars don't only happen in medicine, certainly in politics and other areas. And finding the docs that are open to these ideas, these things, and finding someone that can work with you to help you in the way you need to go. That's part of the behind-the-scenes things we're doing today with Dr. Rasha Battar here on Advanced Medicine Monday edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's always fascinating. And we've got a lot more fascinating things to do, including some news stories about treating cancer and other diseases that I think will be fascinating as well to cover. So we're going to do that more after this break. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, Dr. Battar is author of The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away, and we always remind you how to get that as well. And we'll do that when we come back after this break.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Definitely rocking the health world here with Dr. Rasha Battar, Advanced Medicine Monday. Remember, if you'd ever like to be a part of the program, leave a message 24/7 at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2000. 2355. All the links are up at robertscottbell.com, and you're listening through naturalnewsradio.com as well. Plenty of archives with Dr. Bitar and I, and fantastic information available now. It's, I think, dozens of hours at this point, so we're having a great time doing it. And Dr. Bitar, one of the biggest questions that came to mind as we were talking last segment was, how can they see you, Dr. Bitar? How? I mean, people are all over the world are hearing this message and like going, this guy's cool, man. I think I could get some help from him. How do I see Dr. Bitar?
Well, Robert, you know, it's interesting. We've had patients from 72 countries now, 42 different states. But let's talk something a little bit different, rather, because obviously I can't see everybody, and I don't expect the people to come and see me. And there's many other good doctors out there. So I think we should talk about how a person can find the right doctor for themselves. I think we can highlight a couple of key points that an individual can keep in the back of their mind when they meet a doctor and realize first and foremost that they have the right of making the choice. Many people think that when they go and see a doctor that they have to they feel compelled that they have to do what the doctor said or that they have to see that doctor. And you have to understand, just like you have the choice of changing your grocer or changing your mechanic, you can change your doctor. So how should you find out, or how can you find out, I should say, if the doctor is right for you? Well, the first and foremost thing, and is that okay with you, Robert, if you just discuss this?
Absolutely. No, this is kind of the direction, because I realized there's many people that would like to see a cool guy like you that knows healing and is open to things. It's like an ideal situation and serious problems for people out there. But we really need to go through the ideas and how to navigate the terrain of, all right, there are other doctors out there that are good. We acknowledge that. We want people to find those docs, but you know, there's got to be some techniques, some things to think about, ask or whatever, that would help us to determine it.
Absolutely. And this is the reason that I've had patients come to me and say, well, you know, their grandparents went to DOs, their parents went to DOs and said they only want to see a DO. And I tell them that, look, you know, okay, I'm a DO, but that doesn't mean that all DOs are great, or that doesn't mean that all DOs aren't great. It's just, you know, it's like everything else. Everybody has, every profession has a couple that are really good and a couple that are really bad, and the vast majority are okay. And so how do you find the right doctor for you? And it has nothing to do with the degree. It doesn't have anything to do with the philosophy. You can have very allopathically trained doctors that are very open and receptive. I mean, I was one of those. I was a very hardcore allopathic. I didn't believe anything alternative, you know, 15, 18 years ago before I started my clinic. And it kind of developed into that trained myself. I mean, it wasn't something that I orchestrated and actively thought and pursued. It just ended up naturally occurring. So there are many people out there allopathically oriented that may be the right doctor for you, and they will grow and learn with you. And that's the type of relationship you really want. And then you may end up having some people that are very well versed in alternative, integrative, holistic medicine, and yet you will not mix with them. Your energy won't resonate with them. You will not be a good fit.
Right.
And so let's talk about that aspect, because I think that probably is the most crucial aspect in order to invoke the process of healing, is the connection between the individual that needs the help and the individual that is providing the assistance, the help, the physician. So if you walk into a room, now I'll preface this by saying this is just my opinion, but it has, patients have told me afterwards, or people have told me afterwards, that they followed this and it truly, truly has helped them. And I, in fact, with patients when it comes to cancer,
yeah,
I will not let a patient make a decision after the initial consult. I tell them it is mandatory. In fact, people want to start their treatment the next day, and I said, no, you have to wait 24 hours. You have to pray and meditate about this,
yeah,
and you have to feel whether this is the right thing for you. And if the feeling is that this is not right, the right clinic for you, that is the right answer for you. It
right,
is not
right.
The right clinic for you. And if it is that you get the feeling that this is the right place, then it is the right place. Because, you know, the universal consciousness, you know, source energy, God, the creator, mm-hmm. People say, well, he doesn't really talk to me. God talks to us all. It's that intuition. It's that sixth sense.
Yeah, the gut feeling. So you're saying that the first thing when you talk about walking in, maybe your first consultation, you know, maybe if it's not you, it's somebody else, but you really want to take, even if they don't tell you what you've just said, take 24 hours. You really probably want to do, get quiet. You know, things that go into contemplation, meditation, prayer, and really put it there so you can feel that this is the right path or not.
Exactly. Exactly. Because sometimes certain things will come to play, and they, you know, the doctor may be a very smooth talker. I've even told patients that myself, you know, they're ready to start this, that, and I'd say, hey, how do you know what I just said is true? Well, because you're Dr. Pitar. And I said, but I could be anybody. And, you know, you can't take just my word for it. You got to go out there and you got to do your own exercise. God gave you a brain for a reason. Now you need to go out and make sure that this is not only intellectually makes sense to you, that do your own research, but also allow that feeling, that guidance within yourself, that innate knowledge within yourself to tell you the truth, to feel it. And you need to be in a place of stillness, like you said, yes. of quiet, mm-hmm. and meditate, prayer, whatever the case is. But it's in that first 5 minutes. If you practice this, you know, everybody has experienced that emotion of a person walking in the room. You may not even know that individual. You may have just won the lottery. Everything's going great. And this person walks in and everybody's energy just down. It's just like, for whatever reason, everybody feels bad. Or you could have had your house burned down, somebody ran over your cat, and this person walks in, and you, for whatever reason, you just feel good because this person's energy is good. That's what I'm talking about, the chemistry. You know, yeah. In romance, they call it chemistry, love at first sight. Within the first 5 minutes, you will know if that person that walks in the door, the doctor, is the right doctor for you. You just have to allow yourself to be still and feel. Sure. It's not even something that you're hearing or you're looking. It's just that feeling. Is right. this the right person?
I think, Dr. Pitar, if I may, you know, there's sometimes, though, that you're not – people aren't practiced in this, right? And they might not understand what you're talking about. And it's like, how do I put it into practice like that? How do I know I can trust my feeling? Because sometimes, you know, they might say, well, is it the fear of the treatment or the unknown about the treatment about it? And it's like – these are subtleties that are hard to describe even as we converse on it, but certainly we're encouraging the practice of that because more often than not, there's an attempt being made to communicate with us on that level all the time.
And most
of the time we're too loud and too busy and too distracted, and we're trying to get to that point where we can actually hear it.
Some people have told me that, well, you know, I'm not as intuitive as somebody else. You know what? Every human being on this planet has the ability to feel other people. I have done this so many times, Robert. I have taken people, mm-hmm. patients, and helped them to realize this. And this, you know, some people would say, well, what's that got to do with healing? Well, it's got to do with human interaction. And human interaction, that's where the source, that fifth toxicity of emotions and how people perceive each other and how they don't understand and misunderstandings and anger and forgiveness issues and that manifest and become like festering abscesses within the body and then cause that sickness to just exponentially worsen.
Right.
So, to be able to relate and to be able to feel an individual, and you know, it's not something that you can take a 2 week course or something. It's just something, like you said, you need to practice it. Like anything else, it's just practice. It's allowing yourself to be still enough and get outside of your head and just that, what is that? The being still, listening to the yes. sound in between the notes of, I think maybe Wayne Dyer says that or somebody says that. You know, listen yeah. to the space in between the sounds. And just be still and allow that feeling to tell you, to guide you. And it always does. You know whether walking out of the mall late at night into that dark area, you know, there's a sense that everything's fine. There's nothing right. to be worried about. And you walk into that dark area. Or you could be walking into a lit area and something tells you there's something not right here. Even though the environment in that dark area is more conducive to something negative happening, inside you, you know – it's okay. I mean, I've done this
sure.
hundreds
yeah, I
of
know.
Times
yeah.
because you know it's okay. Or you're walking down a certain way and it's totally lit and everything, and something tells you, you don't want to go down this way. This is not the right, you know. And sure enough, you know, a high-powered electric wire hits there 20 seconds later because you right. turn around and walk the other way and it hits right in front of you. I mean, all sorts of strange things like that. But my point is, we are being guided all the time. And, you know, if this sounds a little foo-foo, more physical to anybody out there, I'm no. telling you, this is really something that we don't understand. You know, 2%, 1% of our brains are actually being utilized. What's the rest of the brain being utilized for?
Mm-hmm.
And they are people that have the ability to feel things, to sense things. And there are many people that are out there that are making a buck doing this. And actually, those people probably aren't to be trusted because there's nothing special about a person that can feel and sense another individual because every human being has it. It's the fact whether or not we've ever turned on our radio
right.
and picked up on that frequency or not. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
to bring this full spectrum home back, you know, full mm-hmm. circle back to where we started, when you go into a doctor's office, my suggestion is see how that doctor interacts with you. Not by what they're saying, but how your energy feels, how you feel in their presence. Do you feel good? Do you feel bad?
Right.
I mean, you know, I inherently am late for my patients. I mean, the only patient I'm ever on time is the first patient of the day. Every patient after that, I don't care what happens, I'm always late. Why? Because that first patient may end up taking an hour and a half instead of an hour, and my patients have kind of gotten used to it that, you know, they don't even mind if I'm an hour late, hour and a half late, because they know I'm never going to rush them. And so sometimes, you know, my 4 o'clock patient, I don't get done with until 7 or 8 o'clock, and all the staff's already gone, and I'm just with the patient. But they've gotten used to it, so they allow me that luxury. So my point is that if the doctor's late or he's early or whatever, I'm not talking about all those type of things. You know, it can be frustrating, especially if you're behind schedule and you need to leave. What I'm talking about is when you're in the room with the doctor, how do you feel? What is the presence? Is he 110% there? Is he tuned in? Is he is his energy mesh with yours?
Right.
Does it feel right?
I can't overstate how important that is. It's extraordinarily precise in the way you describe it, too, because healing is about feeling as well, a very big part of it. And, of course, if these emotions are working against your success because, you know, you go into a room and it feels as if you're a cat and being petted backwards against the grain, that is a very real thing that's going to get in the way of much of your healing. So to pay attention to these things could be the difference between surviving or not.
Absolutely. So between success and failure, that's the definitive difference. And, you know, one of the things, Robert, is also the emotional state of most patients when they're coming, at least in my practice, because they're coming for extreme things, you know, stroke, cancer, autism, whatever the case is. It's a one or the other. It's either fear-based or it's despair. And usually it's a combination of both. So how is the doctor responding to that that sense that you're – that's a state of being that you're in?
Mm-hmm.
So are they ignoring it? Are they downplaying it? Like one of the things I'll do – and again, I'm different with every patient, and I don't even know why I'm different. It's just based upon what I think the patient needs.
Yeah.
But you know, my last cancer patient that I had on Thursday, you know, it was pretty funny. They had driven all the way from Maryland, initial consult. You know, we do usually – they'll come in, and for initial consult, if they're from out of state or out of the country, we schedule them for 2 or 3 days because they – for their physical blood work and their soda collected, all this other stuff. But if they're calling in, then there's no point. There's no reason to have them scheduled for a couple of days. It's, you know, do the one-hour thing. We talk however long they need, and then we schedule them out if they decide to go forward. Well, this patient had talked to one of my new staff members, and my new staff member didn't explain it well enough, so they came all the way – on a Thursday, and as you know, Fridays we only open half a day for IV patients, so there was no way they could get the blood work and the physical and all that other stuff done on a Friday.
Yeah.
And so it was a little frustrating for them, and obviously it was frustrating for me because I'm like, well, wait a second, somebody scheduled this the wrong way, and now this poor family, you know, they drove all the way here, and now they're going to go back, and they got to come back again. So I'm sitting in there, and I have no idea why, but I started joking with them. And this is a person with a stage 4 cancer. He just found out 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
You know, he's been scared senseless by two other doctors. He had heard Burton Goldberg speak. He read Suzanne Summers' book, and then he wrote Ty Bollinger's book on cancer, Step Outside the Box. And so all these three directions fed them back towards me somehow. I mean, I guess I'm mentioned in Suzanne's book, and Burton mentioned me, and then I'm in Ty's book. So they kind of come over. So now he's in a very scared place. He's also not quite oriented right now because he's a little, you know, it's kind of like getting hit by a baseball bat because he just found out. And so you can tell that he was a little bit confused about all the different things. Doctors hadn't told him, they hadn't staged him the right way. You know, they told him the cancer spread to his liver, but they didn't tell him it's stage 4, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I started, for whatever reason, I joked about a couple of things. And he started laughing so hard, and his wife smiled at me, smiled at him. She starts laughing, and then she got tears in her eyes. And I thought, okay, you know, I step back. Now, the wife is not the one that picked the cancer. The husband was, right?
Right.
And I didn't know exactly where the tears were coming from, so I kind of, you know, kind of a little serious. And those tears were tears of happiness because she said to me, she said, I haven't heard my husband laugh like this since he found out that he had cancer, which was in like last week of May.
Wow.
And just that component of it, you know.
Yeah, and how you're compelled, how you're moved to move that direction. But again, I think that's the art of being a healer, is being sensitive to those things. Sometimes they're beyond our mental thought. You don't go in and think, okay, I've got to do this now. The mechanism of I've got to make this patient laugh. But you're called to do it. and you do. And that's the gift that we'd like everybody to be open to. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this fascinating behind-the-scenes discussion here with Dr. Bitar today on Advanced Medicine Monday. Also, some things to look out for the doctors if they do certain things like they will mention. Maybe you might want to rethink that doctor. We'll let you know about those as well here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming right back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com. And download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
All right, we're back at it with Dr. Rashid Bitar here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And as fascinating he ever gets to get these behind-the-scenes looks into the doctor and the doctor-patient relationship today, which is really cool and exciting for me as well to share this stuff, because I know everybody ends up benefiting by it. But there are some things. I mean, we talked about some great things that docs can do, and also the patients, to kind of get a sense of the right doc to see, the right situation to be in. But there are some signs that we could, if I'm going to a doc, that if I see a doc do this, I might go, I got to rethink this. And I know you'll have some insights there as well, Dr. Bitar.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because the AMSPA Physicians Training Program, the doctor's training program that I have, I've had doctors actually ask me, how do I know certain things, or how do I, you know how to approach a patient when I walk in the room? And again, I've never been taught this. It's just that feeling, and I tell them to trust themselves. And this part that you just brought up, the things that doctors do that may indicate that that doctor may not be the right one for you.
Yeah.
I've actually talked to those doctors that have come through my course that, hey, if you want to give it the right sense, you know, these are maybe things you maybe want to consider. Like, for instance, this is really blatant, but, mm-hmm. you know, if a doctor, if you meet a new doctor and you're coming to this person to get better, and the first thing they ask you is for your shot record to see, you know, if you updated your shots, that's probably not the right doctor for you.
That's a great one.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If they're talking about that kind of, you know, their idea of prevention is vaccinations, then that probably is not the right person. But, you know, to give you an example of the opposite extreme of what we just discussed in the last segment, Robert,
yeah.
if you are in front of a doctor, a new doctor, and you're telling them their problem, your problem, and they're writing, like I'm constantly writing. I'm not even looking at the patient. I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two ways to do this. You can be writing and totally ignore the patient, or you can be writing and totally 110% focus on the patient. How is that doctor dealing with you? In other words, you ask them a question, and they say, uh-huh. And you ask them another question, and they say, uh-huh. And then they hand you a prescription or whatever, and they don't answer any of your questions. I remember as a medical student and as a resident seeing that, where the patient would ask questions. And I bet you every person listening to this radio show at least at one time or another has experienced this with a doctor, where they'll ask a question, the doctor will acknowledge that you heard the question but not answer it, and the office visit will always end up with that question never having been addressed. Now, conversely, if the doctor says, well, I'll address that, and then or let's say at the end of the visit, he summarizes everything he's done, he's talked about, and then he asks you, do you have any other questions?
Right.
That's a person that is focused in on trying to get you better.
Yes.
And they're trying to answer the questions. I have been told by a couple of my patients, some of my patients have been, you know, with me for a long time, they said that when they first came to me, and I've even had new patients tell me this, they have never heard a doctor say, I don't know, as much as they've heard me say.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second, you're not inspiring confidence, but quite the opposite. The sincerity, the honesty, the humanity of that, those three little words, I don't know, are so disarming, and so they open you up to so many possibilities.
But that's exactly what I tell them. I tell them I'll find the answer, or I'll look for the answer, and many times the patients have helped me to find the answer. Robert, can you believe that?
Yes.
Where the patient has actually, after I said that, you know, I don't know the answer to that, you know, we'll have to look into it. And then the patient will bring me an article, and it's an interesting article. And, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you know, I already know the information, or I've heard about it, or I've already done my research on it, and I'll tell them, yeah, but this is the problem, they didn't give this counterpoint or that argument.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least 10, 15% of the time, it's something that I've never heard of, never even contemplated. I had a guy that recently came, you know, with the TV show thing that we talked about with the medical rewind.
Yes, yes.
That gentleman comes to me, and we're talking, I mean, he's all excited about the TV stuff. And one of the most exciting things, you know, this is how the discussions go. He says to me, what do you know about red clover? And I said, red clover?
Hmm.
And he says, yeah. And I said, in what context?
Yes.
You know, because he knows that I have a ranch, and, you know, I have yaks, and I have all these animals. So I'm
sure.
Thinking, is he talking about like agricultural feed for my animals? What does he mean?
Yeah.
I said, what context? He says, in a medical context. And I said, I don't know anything about red clover. Why?
Yeah.
And he goes, have you ever heard about red clover for cancer? I said, no, but tell me more.
Yes.
And he told me about this guy that's an Amish guy that is up in the mountains in Tennessee somewhere. And he's not even a doctor, but he has people that are coming from all over, and he's using some kind of tincture with red clover. And he's looking at me, and he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm sitting there just, you know, fixated on his face.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just thought you might be interested. I said, interested? When do we go see this guy?
Let's go. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'd never even heard about that. So, I mean, there's so many different things. It's just like what you said. The possibilities become endless when you open yourself up.
Yeah.
And in the words of Wayne Dyer, be open to everything and attached to nothing. It's a liberating experience, and there's no other way for me to actually even say it. It's a liberating experience for the patient and for the doctor. And then your whole staff becomes the same way, and they're bringing ideas. And I'm not saying that you have to take everything in and accept it.
Sure. Not every option or suggestion will be valid. But, I mean,
exactly.
the fact that a patient feels open. Because remember, we started this discussion with that USA Today article about patients lying to their doctors or not, you know, revealing. It's like if you have an atmosphere of openness, you don't ridicule a patient for an idea. Suddenly they're open to it. Just that simple act of opening up, even if it's the wrong idea, it's the openness that brings the healing. I mean, that's what's beautiful about this.
And one other thing that I told my doctors that came through my training program is that if they want to really, you know, connect with the patient, always be focused on them. I mean, I don't allow any of my staff and of course myself, neither, we don't wear cell phones in with patients. Never. I never have a cell phone with me. If I'm on a phone consult on the phone and I'm at my desk, maybe my cell phone may ring, but if I'm not, if I'm with the patient, inpatient, there's never a cell phone anywhere. They are to be focused 110% of the patient. And I've told my docs that have gone through my training program, one of the simplest things to do, and if you're a patient or if you're a person listening to this and you want to know if this is the right doctor, does that doctor, sometime during their office visit, either when they meet you towards the end, do they touch you? Put, you know, I've told my docs, just touch the patient. Just put your hand on their shoulder. You know, just, you know, when you shake their hand, just hold it for a second longer.
Right.
You know, just connect with the person, because that physical touch, so many people are literally starving for that physical touch.
Very true.
Starving for that physical touch.
Yeah. No, I mean, these are all great insights and some things that people can take away, very practical knowledge they can put into experience, so that if they ever find themselves in a situation where they're looking for a doc or a healer, and as we know, it could be a doctor of any type as well. The same principles should or would apply.
And it transcends degrees or education. It's just the sincerity of what a person, you know, has and wanting to try to help you. And you had mentioned, you know, things that you want to look out for that may indicate the doctor is not the right one for you.
Yep.
If they're not paying attention to you, if you feel, you know when somebody's paying attention to you, and you also know when a person's not paying attention to you. You know, if they look at their watch, their sense of presence is not there. That's not a person that you should go back to. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. If you are sick, you need to have somebody that is focused and getting you better, no matter what the what the issues are, what other, you know, no matter what the stock market's doing, no matter, you know, what time it is, to the golf tee, if all the golf guys are out there, what are the cases? It doesn't matter. Yeah. The most important thing is to get you better. That's what you want to be focused
on. Well, you mentioned one of the things to look out for. If one of the first things they ask you for is your shot records to be sure you're up to date, maybe you want to rethink that. And here's a story from Medical News Today, in fact, and I've got this linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. It says, vaccinate adults to protect children. Dr. Pitar, have you been seeing these commercials now, that the way they're promoting these things?
Yeah, pertussis, you know, big thing, whooping cough. Do it. Now they're trying to make parents feel guilty, like, hey, get your vaccine yourself, because otherwise you could be the reason that your child gets sick and then ends up having respiratory distress and possibly even have a, you know, can die from that, have a lethal complication from it.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely absurd, because they're talking about the parents carrying it, as you know, being carriers.
Right, right. And so every parent is guilty until proven innocent. Let's see your shot record, or else we're going to accuse you of, well, medically assaulting your child with a microbe. And they just don't get it. I mean, of course, they don't want to get it. I mean, the whole idea is to sell vaccines. But, you know, the idea that we could be healthy first, and that the terrain is important, and that learning about the environment we live in via the natural interaction, and the fact that we can help people and children through these diseases without assaulting them. I mean, these things are foreign concepts to a lot of allopathic medicine even today.
I agree with you. It is very much an almost like an alien thought for many, many doctors out there and many patients out there. But I think that the advent of the internet now has allowed more and more people to get the truth and find out the facts for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, this concept of informed consent,
it is
a beautiful concept. Unfortunately, it has been absolutely mutilated and
abandoned.
It has. I mean, they still use those words, like evidence-based medicine. I love the way that they use these words that are the right words, and they are completely
hollow, empty.
Yeah, they're opposite. They mean the opposite thing. Evidence-based medicine. Today's definition of evidence-based medicine is anything but based upon evidence.
It's just so bizarre. It really is. Listen, we got to take another break here. Fascinating discussion with Dr. Rasha Bitar. Again, we'll tell you how to get the 9 steps to keep the doctor away as well in the next segment, and a little bit more on some of the things to look out for. If your doc does this, you might want to look the other way, as it ties into some cancer issues as well. Big time weird stuff going on in medicine. I'll ask Dr. Bitar about when we come back from this break on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. all-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thanks again to Natural News Radio, as well as shout out to the Prepper Podcast Radio Network as well for carrying the Robert Scott Bell Show every day. You know, in addition to the issues that Dr. Batar has brought up to help guide us to choose the right kind of doc for us, we were reviewing some stories. One, this one off the New York Times. And if you think I'm exaggerating when I talk about Nazi medicine, this will have you cringing as I'm talking about it. The article headline reads, "Hot Chemotherapy Bath, Patients See Hope, Critics Hold Doubts." Listen to this, Dr. Batar. This is cancer therapy at its most aggressive. A treatment patients liken to being filleted, disemboweled, and then bathed in hot poison.
These are not the words of Robert Scott Bell. These are the words of the New York Times.
If your doctor thinks this is good for cancer, you might want to not walk, but run the other way.
Oh, goodness. You know, it's amazing to me they actually even open the article like that. Because, I mean, yeah. If I heard those words, I would put – if I was a betting man, I'd say that's Robert Scott Bell talking.
I know. If I looked at this, I could have come up with that. But they're actually using the words. Yeah, so,
exactly.
You know,
the author is Andrew Pollack from the New York Times.
That is a shocker in itself. I think that, you know, when we talk about, you know, cancer, as we have a lot of the time, you know, we've been together because people are fascinated, need to be, because a lot of cancer going on. But the whole concept of chemotoxicity, it's like, you know, chemotherapy, it's not therapy, it's chemotoxicity as a legitimate means by which you can heal a disease of toxicity. It's absurd, but now this takes it to another level. They basically cut you open, bathe your organs in not just chemotherapy. We're going to heat it up. Heat it up first. I mean, I'm thinking this is the Onion, but it's not. The New York Times is covering this.
Well, I think the only way you can equate this, Robert, is really it's like trying to put out a fire with gasoline.
Real.
That's the only way that you can even look at chemo. And now the way they're talking about bathing, and this is like doing a peritoneal lavage with chemotherapeutic agents. And
right.
This would be like taking jet fuel and throwing that on a fire.
Well, and you know, I remember a scene from one of Mel Gibson's movies. What was it? Where he was playing William Wallace. And it was a historical thing, but it was the most brutal scene I'd ever seen in a movie at the end where they literally open them up and they pull out your – you know, I don't even want to say it. But, I mean, this is what doctors are licensed to do. I mean, this is torture, beyond torture.
I believe, and you've heard me say this before, that – the current period of medicine will be remembered in the future as being the most barbaric. And I'm not talking about compared to even like 100 years ago when they used to do, you know, when they used to do like surgeries without general anesthesia or anything like that. I'm talking about most barbaric when it comes to chronic disease like cancer,
yeah,
and some of these other conditions. And this is this, it's you know, you've said it well so many times, killing the patient trying to cure a disease, and it just doesn't make any sense when you start to understand that the disease is really not the problem. It's nothing more than the symptom of an underlying pathology, and that pathology is a toxicity issue.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to talk about positive things here and the good things in medicine, and that's why we wanted to discuss a lot of the things we talked about today on the show. We would be remiss if we didn't recognize that there's, you know, a barbaric side to this that we – many people, honestly, they listen to this show. They're probably aware of it. But even – I could not pass this one up because this took the what's the worst and made it even worse if that was possible. And so how do we, you know, get to the point where we shun these docs? Because, as you said, this is something that is inhumane even.
Yeah, and that's true. And any benefit that – anybody would get from something like this, from a chemotherapeutic agent or any other type of palliative treatment like a radiation or surgery, which is not considered to be, quote, palliative, but that's really all it ends up being. Because when you look at more than 1 year outcome, there is no increase in survival whatsoever, and there's only a temporary reduction in tumors, which within a year, year and a half, they come back to the same size and then they grow. So it's completely a waste of time, effort, money, and causes a tremendous amount of increased harm to the individual. In fact, there was a Russian study, and I think I talked to you about this, never got translated into other languages. The only reason I'm aware of it was because I had a Russian doctor that worked for me for a while.
Yeah.
And that Russian study, they took lung cancer patients and breast cancer patients, divided them into two groups. One group they treated conventionally with whatever was indicated, chemo, radiation, surgery. The other group, they did nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, no treatment, no medicines, no vitamins, no lifestyle changes. If they smoked, they let them continue smoking. They did whatever they wanted to do.
Yes.
They didn't do anything. And they found that the group that they did no intervention, not even lifestyle, not even a discussion on what they should, you know, eat or nothing, no dietary changes, nothing, had a more than a 3.5 time increase in survival. they lived 3.5 times, more than 3.5 times longer than the patient population that underwent conventional therapy with
radiation. And enjoyed their lives they're much more than those that were just being brutalized by the treatment. And, you know, like I said, I don't like to discuss these things, Dr. Bitar, because it's not pleasant. But at the same time, who among us has not been touched by someone with cancer or had it themselves that needs to hear the brutal truth so that they can, again, take the information that we shared even today and the many other Advanced Medicine Mondays we've done together and really make these informed, really, the real word, informed decision, not the phony words. Like you mentioned a number of words that they like to say, evidence-based, but they're hollow. They mean nothing anymore. And we want to put the meaning back in them so that the docs that are out there doing good are being recognized for what they're doing, and the patients that genuinely need the help can get it.
1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women in the United States, according to the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society, at some point in their lives will hear the words, "I'm sorry to say that you have cancer."
Well, that's why I want everybody to get a hold of your book, Dr. Bitar. We've talked about it, but there are many new listeners each week here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and they may not be aware of your wonderful book, best-selling book, in fact, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. And I always put these links up there in my show notes at robertscottbell.com. But there are ways, if you're going to get it through Amazon or all the traditional means as well, we've got a link up through Medical Rewind as well. And we've got links to drbitar.com. But my goodness, The 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away covers a lot of these things we talked about and beyond with the practical tools and tips. Even if you never see a doctor, if you take what Dr. Bitar has put in that book, you'll likely never need to in the sense of cancer.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Robert. It is it has been a good guidance from what patients have given me feedback that they've found to be extremely helpful in many different aspects. And there, obviously, it's more than just the hardcore medicine part that we talk about in there. And a lot of people have been moved by the stories, and these are all true stories. So
yes.
I appreciate you mentioning the book. But I think that one thing that I would like people to remember from at least this segment that we've done is to allow the inner guidance, your inner voice, to guide you. In other words, that sixth sense, the intuition that we talk about, that is God talking to you. That is the creator. That is source energy. That is the universal consciousness connecting to you and guiding you. So just allow it to guide you.
Yes, beautiful. One of the most important of our hours together, I believe, today with that information alone. Life-changing, life-saving, and empowering in all the ways that we're committed to do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and especially every Monday when we do our advanced medicine segments together, Dr. Vitar.
Robert, I wouldn't miss it. Mondays are a great day for me because I look forward to doing the show with you. And I'll just share something with you that one of the most compelling things for me is whenever I hear you say this. And so I'm going to finish the show today by saying that the power to heal is yours.
Yes, it is.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. To you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out.
I'm on the radio.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out.
I'm on the radio.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out.
I'm on the radio.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out.
I'm on
the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
They take me away from.